What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We need to do our own intro.
Yeah. What am I saying? This is the new one. Like, this is new shit.
Yeah. This is the new one.
Come on, baby. Let's intro the people to the new Patreon shit. We curse on Patreon. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We certainly didn't curse before.
Fuck that, no, wasn't, James. That wasn't, we curse on this before. One.
You got to pay extra.
There
for
you
the
go.
We were very buttoned up before.
This shit's off the rails now, baby. It's off the rails.
This one, to be clear, isn't Patreon, but we are, next week will be Patreon.
Okay.
Shucks. All right.
All right. But, button it back up. Quit the cursing.
Shucks.
So button all it right. up. I do love that every single one of our podcasts on Apple Podcasts has the E for explicit. And it's It's just because Gerard curses every now and then.
Gee golly. All right. I cannot curse. Gee whiz. All right. Gee whiz. We got new stuff. Okay.
Basically, this is a reboot. You know how, like, the Fast and Furious franchise rebooted? You know, they kind of, like, took what they were doing. And then Fast 5 came and it was like, we're going to do something a little bit different and then just heighten it. That's what we're doing. That's what,
because now we spies. See, before y'all thought we were just podcasters. No. We tech geniuses, all right? We're historians, all right? We're freaking kung fu masters now, you know?
You know how spies come out the gate saying, I'm a spy?
Because no one believes them. Because no one believes them. You know what I mean?
That's very true. Shoot.
Ow! No, but here's my question, though. Is it a reboot or is it a requel? Like, are we sort of just doing
good question.
What we did before?
Ooh, good question.
What we did before, there's...
Yeah, what's the continuity?
I mean, it could be a requel, because a requel builds off what was before, but changing...
But a requel would be new people as well. And that
Demi's never been on the podcast
Demi
before. Boom, there it
Demi
is.
Knew.
That's true.
And he black. So that's this. We got a fourth black dude. Look at that. That's a fourth black dude on this episode.
That's right. They brought me in because testing was like, we need a fourth black. If you're going to have so many black people, just get different. Just spread it out.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we got Demi can sing. Like, listen, we ready. You know what I mean? This is the redux. How's that, James?
It's a musical now. Yeah. You lose so much of your audience.
Everything is better. Really quickly, let's just say that a lot of our episodes are going behind the paywall, as they say. And that is so that we can continue doing the podcast. And so lovely listeners like yourself who have the funds can subscribe and listen to our whole catalog, as well as two new episodes every month that will only be available behind the paywall. Okay, you get the good stuff here, but you also get the exclusive stuff there.
Yeah, you know, and also those old episodes, you know, we got that behind the paywall because some of us are trying to protect our livelihood. So if you're going to try to drag us, me, you got to pay. So at least I'm getting paid while being dragged.
Yeah, you got to pay if you want to drag Gerard. I mean, if you're trying to drag Gerard,
it's like saying, it's like you're saying the ones you got to pay for are worse. So if you want to
pay for that one, yeah,
pay.
See, that's why you hit them. Yeah, exactly. You got to pay for them. Okay, you got to pay for them.
If you hear it's raw, that's what he's saying. Yeah, it's yeah. Like, it's it, you know, it's uncensored. It's BET uncut. Whoa, 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 okay, hey, hey. It's bigger.
Whoa, whoa, hold on,
you
know? BET uncut.
It's better.
BET uncut. Yeah, that was maybe. That was. They were aggressive on BET uncut. They were like, man.
Hey, and that and that's what we're talking about. Okay, that's what you get over there. You get, you know what I mean? You get a little bit more juiced up version. That's, you know, a little, it's coming at you fast. X.
Are we going to do that? Wow. Is that coming over to this new iteration? That is that?
It certainly has. It's already here.
God, this is embarrassing. We can't start it like this. Where's Melissa?
Covering your face after
Melissa,
it,
cut. Can we cut?
I know
that?
You're proud.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we should move.
No,
we should
just
move
Melissa.
On.
When we edit, cut that part because that's just we can't start with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you know, the listener can just they could just hit Fast X on there. They could hit.
Guys, we're live. This is live. You can't
just
cut
fast
any of
time.
This.
You know, because time because it's like a you know fast.
Let's
time,
start
you
the
know,
show.
Like it's a break. All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Gerard Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump. In
Black X, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
You made one mistake. You didn't take my car.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean that is the
Yo,
line. That's the
not
line.
Not only is it the line, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. It is the greatest line in cinema history. Okay? It's the greatest line in cinema history.
I cannot
believe this.
Name a better line. Yeah,
name
a better line.
One better line than that.
I'm not expecting you to say that. Wow.
Yeah. NYPD, I'ma knock your punk ass down. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
It pales in comparison.
It's only beat by Romaine Noodles. which was confusing.
Oh my,
God.
My goodness.
And Ludacris delivering that line. Cause somebody was laughing when they told him and he was like, yeah, I can do that. And then he said it and it
was, I think he was yes. laughing when he told the director,
sure,
and the director was like,
yeah, I'm hiring.
Hey man,
hiring
whatever.
For this one.
Justin, I can't stop you.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome to our podcast. Okay, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading
Tell
black actors. I will, and we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Man.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there are three of us co-hosts, the voice that you're listening to now. That sounds like someone who was absent for a period of time.
Like an absentee day?
They about to come. What hint? I mean, maybe. But the point is, they were absent, but they're coming back. And you are very, very excited for it. That's that. You know what I mean? That voice, that's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
You want to try that one again, Bray? I feel like that one wasn't.
No, he's talking about the Rock. He's saying that he's the Rock.
No, James, no, it's not. No, James, I know what he's trying to say. My man said he was absentee. He said absentee.
Yeah, I've been absentee.
Oh my goodness. This voice, all right, who's clearly the one driving, like, you know, the fastest car, the muscle car. You know, black on black wheels. You know, is that a Gerard Milligan? You know what I'm saying? You know, what I'm saying? Come on.
And this voice is James III.
Okay, that was
you
the
sound
most
peaceful.
That was eerie because I was
just making sure that people
that
know
straight.
Who I am.
Yeah, you sounded real peaceful.
Wow.
That sounded
making
like
sure that people just know who I am. Yep.
Yeah, there was no effect on it. Yeah. No weird. Nope.
Like, that's
character.
Not Fast and Furious. That's slow and steady.
Why would I do that? Is, you know? Why would I do a
okay,
new weird,
I like, that's
some
a,
weird
and that,
character?
And that's a reboot, and that's what I love. we also have a very, very special guest with us on the podcast.
Wait,
today.
I'm going to do a remix, okay. So you're not going to get drums. You're about to get this beatboxing real quick. You know what I'm saying? Are you ready? Okay, you ready? This new shit, boy. Rico shit. A boom,
reboot.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, Bray, you got to start. I'm doing this as you rap.
Okay, right. okay. Got you. Okay, you know him. He's a writer, podcaster, performer extraordinaire. Know him from the... It's Demi Adejuwipe.
You got the first beatbox, Demi. You know what I'm saying?
This feels like when you can notice that the franchise has lost its director. You're like, something's different in this reel. F. Gary Gray. Okay.
And the one thing that I didn't say is Demi is very much a Fast and Furious franchise.
Let's
fan.
Go.
I'm ahead. I'm a fast head. Okay. I'm very, Let's very go. Happy to be here.
So we are very excited to have such an aficionado here. What's the last fast? We did. Did we do Fast 9?
I think
nine?
We did do Fast 9.
I know we did.
I think we did.
We did. It's
funny. You texted me, I want to say like the Wednesday before Fast X came out, being like, hey, do you want to do the pod? And you didn't. It was like you didn't have to ask if I was going to see it 100%. In time. Because it was like, yeah, I know he'll be there. And I was. I literally was like Thursday, 7 p.m.
It's like, I know
showing,
he's seeing it before
I was
me.
There.
That's so funny.
There was, I will say, we one of my favorite, we saw Fast 9 together. There was a huge, I don't know, just like huge group of people that went to see the movie.
What?
36
there
people.
Was a 36 people.
Wow.
It was 36 of us.
It was the most people because I've ever rolled up in a theater with. And I've rolled up with a lot of people to a theater.
36?
I think I've rolled up with 20.
It's because that's the limit. That's the limit of amount of tickets you can buy in the AMC app. And I was like, we'll figure it out. We'll find the people. And it was just me inviting, like, anyone want to go? And just having some friends be like, yes, let's show up. Yeah. Let's get dressed. Let's do all of it. And it was a blast.
Wait, how were people dressed? Like, were...
Okay, I had a tank top and, like, hell the yeah. Dom Toretto yes. necklace. I feel like that was the most common thing. Yeah. Our friend Addie, I jokingly said, I'll pay you $50 if you show up in a Corona costume. And she put together a cardboard Corona bottle. And wore that like it looks like a banana suit, but it's just a Corona bottle.
Of course,
and yeah,
of course,
yeah,
amazing.
It was incredible. Tessa also went. She had it was her first time ever seeing a Fast and Furious movie.
Wow,
perfect.
Oh my god, she had seen zero Fast and Furious movies before Fast 9.
Was that confusing, or was she like, I get
she kind of I would like filled her in on some stuff, but she kind of got it. I was doing the same again because she came and saw Fast 10. And then there were some people that were missing from Fast 9 that, like, Gal Gadot. Like, when Gal Gadot popped up, she was like, huh? And I was like, yeah. So she wasn't...
I also said, huh, but in a different way of, like, oh, what?
You're not alive. Okay, whatever. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, nobody dies
in this franchise. Nope. So this is the 10th movie in the Fast and Furious franchise. It opened at $67 million domestically, but $251 million internationally. Mm-hmm. Currently has $318 million worldwide. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the international play is still kind of where it's at mm-hmm. here. But I think not as good as Fast 9.
It didn't do as
9. I feel like Fast 9.
It did not do as good
yeah.
as Fast 9. But, this movie has been... Listen, Demi, I'm happy you're here because I love Fast and Furious. The thing is, this franchise has been around for my entire adult life. Like, this is the first movie I saw in theaters
since we were in high school.
Since high school, dude. Like, this is insanity. I mean,
damn.
It's funny because Michelle Rodriguez had this interview going around where she's like, "We need more movies. You can't just keep making Marvel movies, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "You do realize y'all been making Fast and the Furious movies longer than Marvel, and you have." 10?
You are the Marvel movie. That's like, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, you have
she
10
She died
movies.
In the movie at one point, y'all. Y'all remember that? She died, and she was the first to come back.
Yeah, so many characters have died in this franchise, and...
That's another thing. It's like, even when they disappear, when they come back, it's supposed to be like this big thing. I'm like with The Rock coming back, I'm like, he was gone for one movie. I'm treated like, what? How is
well,
he
technically, like, if you count it this like, movie, it's two, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, but it's like with Letty's death, it's even just like she was gone for Fast 5, and at the end of Fast 5, they're like, you're gonna want to see this, and it's a photo of Letty alive, and we're like, oh, yeah, she was just gone for this movie.
Oh, man.
It is a Marvel movie. I don't know why she's pretending like Marvel is somehow like
awesome. Eating their mention, like, the level of superhero that they are at now, they are superheroes. They have supernatural human abilities.
There was one movie when Vin Diesel stomped on the ground. Who was he fighting? He was fighting Jason Statham, and Jason Statham, like, falls. Like, yeah. I was like, bro, this man just hawked the ground, like, just a regular ass dude.
Yeah, I mean, in Fast Five, even, he was, like, did a spear through a pillar of brick wall.
He did that.
And they,
I always think, like, why is he not wearing, like, a bulletproof vest or something when he goes out? And I'm just like, well, I guess he's probably got bulletproof skin. Like, he acts like he can pick up, like, car doors to shield himself from bullets. Yeah. And I'm like, you're good.
And he never shoots a gun, right? He's never picked up a gun.
He's
Batman. I don't think
he ever shoots a gun.
Batman.
Yeah, he is Batman. So this movie currently, it has a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, 86% audience score. And the big, the new addition to the Fast franchise is Jason Momoa. He is the son of
Hernan Reyes.
Thank you.
Which I like the idea of that, though. I love the idea of a villain coming back from, like, the past in the series. And I'm like, this is a pretty good idea.
Well, yeah, and this is the, I mean, well, this is the second time. I mean, Fast 9 did basically the same exact thing, which they, like, kind of went back in time, and they were like, actually, here's Dom's brother, and, like, here are all the scenes, you know. Yeah. And then this movie was like,
and seven,
yeah. Seven,
Jason Statham's like, you killed my brother for the last movie.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay. Everyone's related. Like, relative.
Yeah. And in this movie that we go back and it's funny. I actually rewatched some of Fast Five on a plane recently. And I was like, man, this movie's so good. And then it was weird because I did not know. I actually didn't know that this movie was going to be so connected to Fast Five, but it was, and they kind of recreated so many of those scenes, and then just put Jason Momoa in the scene.
Just was like, that, hey, was, he was just crazy. Right there.
Yeah,
he was actually here the whole time.
They had him driving.
Right. If we had a wider
lens,
he
was chasing them in the car, and it's like, yo, wait, he was in the first car.
They had one.
He was in the bank.
They had one scene where it was like, the cable that comes and, like, decapitates the car. It's like, oh yeah, he was in that car. It got the guy on the minigun, but he was in that car too. They had a point where, like, he's driving by his dad and he, like, makes eye contact before he dies and was like,
what?
I don't think you can. I think that's a little crazy. He gets whipped out of the car to, like, real quick too.
I also love how confident he was that whole time, like, in the past. Like, he's just like, so basically the premise of this film is that he's been planning revenge on Toretto and his familia for how long?
Ten.
Has it been? How
he
many
said,
years? That's the
ten.
Other thing it's so
he
hard
ten.
It's 10 years ten. Okay
wait, so Bray, you said familia, yeah. Are we saying that Vin Diesel's Latino?
Okay, so you can weigh in on this, right?
He got
okay.
Latino son.
So here, like, so here's the thing.
I mean,
does he?
Here's the thing.
I don't know.
Okay. So
continue.
Vin Diesel, the actor. We don't really know what he is. He says he's not biracial. He's multi. I think he says he's mixed race, right? Yeah. And so there's some black, perhaps,
maybe could be splash.
We don't know. We don't know, and that's okay. It's not, you know, he doesn't need to show a meaty 23, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, if you've seen pictures of his real life brother, he's also very, he looks white.
But Vin Diesel don't. We've seen young photos of Vin Diesel.
But Vin Diesel don't. But Vin Diesel has, you know, we've reviewed a few Vin Diesel films on this podcast, but he is, because he's ethnically ambiguous, he has played roles in which you're like, he's not black in this movie. Like, he's not, like, his character is Italian, or his character is, you know, Hispanic. Now, I remember from the first Fast and Furious movies, I always thought that Vin Diesel was supposed to be, like, of some Hispanic Latino origin.
His sister, Mia, is played by a Panamanian but white actress. And I'm like, that should be confirmation of, like, this is a Hispanic man. Oh. But it's like, it could be. as like Afro-Latino.
Afro-Latino.
But I'm just like, just white.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? I just worked on a show where she was a character and we all had the thought of, isn't she white and she's supposed to be? And it's like, nope, she's Panamanian. So that was a reveal.
Rita Moreno was his grandma.
And then Rita Moreno is his. Now.
Yes.
And right. So Rita Moreno, famously Latina. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So, they say Familia, right? Yep. They say it.
She says
it. Yeah, yeah. And they call her abuela or abuelita or something
abuelita.
Like that. When she shows up, so.
But then John Cena was introduced as his brother, and John Cena is white.
Yes.
Or is he?
Yeah, and when they
or
do the
famously
he?
White
or
man.
Is he?
But I think he when
nah, he is.
And when they do the flashbacks,
his last name does mean dinner in Spanish.
That counts for
he's
something.
He's a stepbrother, though, right?
That does count for
when
something.
They did the flash, when they did the flashback, the other guy, the guy playing the younger him,
yeah, looked to, it's like right. It's clearly white, as you know, on deliberately white, and the young Dom was a person of color. I can't remember. I don't have that in front of me, but
yes, the young Dom. Was
they
definitely...
were like they were tried to make. They were like, yeah, like look at how this is how they looked when they were younger, and you know,
so whatever. Anyway, I don't think he's black in these movies, but
his child is
darker than both him and Michelle Rodriguez, which can happen, I guess. I think
and,
right.
Well, you know? And Elena, who was I think technically the child's mother,
yeah, right.
Who
yeah, right. So, yeah. So. Because like we learned when we had Millie on here, you know, Afro-Latinos exist and Dom is just, at least in the movie, at least in the Fast and Furious world, it feels like Vin Diesel is Afro-Latino. Like whether he's that in real life is different, but here he, right? Like he's.
The baby was lighter skinned in the previous movies too.
But you know, a lot of time when black people have babies, like, they be hella light skinned, and then they
it can't happen.
You know,
I was very light skinned.
Yeah,
they get darker skin as they grow up.
I was very
okay. That was a genuine question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very light skinned.
It's possible they got doctors on the set of these movies consulting, and
it's also
smarter
possible
than
for two dark skinned black people to have a lighter skin.
Yeah, my cousin's like that.
Baby, that just remains lighter skin, and just because there is something, you know, whatever DNA. Let's get to initial thoughts, because there's a lot we have to say.
Damn, that wasn't the initial.
You know what I mean?
No,
that
well,
has
we
nothing
said
to do with Fast 10.
My initial thought is that's Tyrese's Facts. Baby.
Facts. Facts. Oh, my goodness. Demi, you
damn,
first.
That'd be a crazy reveal.
My initial thought is this movie is nonsense, but like not... Like all of the movies
yes,
are nonsense, but in a way where you're like, awesome. But this one particularly, I just kept being like, well, that isn't, that's not filmmaking wise. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can never judge these movies fairly because it's just
so
like
hard.
You have a good time and then you step back and you're like, what the fuck? What just happened? Or what are they doing? There are like five different storylines going on. And I kept just being like, you guys need to stop cutting away to this other shit. John Cena is like a babysitter now. He was the villain of the last movie. Jordana Brewster comes in for one scene and then disappears. Roman has a thing where he throws like powder or sand in the sky, and I was like, what's that
truly
about?
Truly, what
Pete
was
Davidson
that about?
Shows up. Han trips on a mushroom for a second. It's just a lot of stuff where I was just like, what's going
and
on? All of these scenes feel like they should have been cut. That's the thing, nothing pays off. And it's like a lot of stuff is because it sets up for the next movie, but I feel like some of it is just there's no payoff.
I will say there was one storyline that they actually felt like they were like continuing through, and that was with Tyrese being like a leader, you know. It was
yes, which I also
not even,
I just didn't give a shit about that. I was like, this isn't real.
not even a little bit.
No, I was like, you're the side character, don't give me a like the side character's a little sad storyline. I'm like, it feels like a contract thing. Like Tyrese is like, I want my character to do more this time. The director's like,
sure. Here, we'll have you right. Like, but like even that, it's like, okay, I guess I'll just roll into my,
yeah, do
which
it.
Is these movies are, you know, famously insane, and they're very fun popcorn films in which you turn your brain off. I personally, I think I did talk about this with Fast 9, you know, I feel like The Rock rejuvenated this franchise. And so not having him in these movies, to me, takes some of the fun mm-hmm. out of it, because he's, I think, such a good like pairing and foil mm-hmm. to, you know, Vin Diesel, and adds this a little bit more like actual levity. Like, I like Tyrese and Ludacris do their thing, but it's kind of like you know, you need it in small chunks, whereas The Rock brings this like I don't know, he brings a different energy to it that I'm excited to have come back. You know, we'll talk about that later, but this movie, Jason Momoa, I think he really tried for something. Yeah. I'm not sure if it worked, but like it was, I guess, fun to see him try. But I do feel like this movie felt like they couldn't top 9, and like 8 was so like it was like 9 couldn't necessarily top 8, but they at least like found different ways to like make it interesting, and they did do the space stuff, and like they brought some more people back, like they brought Bow Wow back, you know what I mean? Like there were certain things that they did that was like cool, but like this movie, I feel like there's not a single thing they did in this movie that felt new, and it all felt like a retread for kind of the first time, which is incredible considering they've retread some stuff in this franchise, but like it felt like it was like they retread things that were the stuff that they were using to be like, and now we're gonna do this, and it's like, okay. I think they even mentioned it in the movie at a certain point, like somebody like Charlize Theron was like, you're using what I did, you know, like kidnapping people's loved ones and like holding that against them,
right?
You know, it's like I already did that.
100%.
I feel like 9, the problem with 9 and the thing that I kept thinking after 9 was like they sort of leaned so far into what the internet mm-hmm. was saying about the movie, and just everyone's like, they're gonna go to space, and they're like, we're going to space. It's like after that it's kind of like, well then what do you do if you did the thing that everyone jokes about being too far,
right?
Like if you cross the line, where do you go next? Especially when it gets so meta with all the like, am I invincible shit, and like the, oh, it's just barbecues and then you're part of the family. I'm like, if you've like just sort of taken in what everyone makes fun of, then you can't, like, that should be the end of the line.
That's the end of the line. Where do you go? Exactly. They did all the meta stuff. They like commented on everything, like, and it's like not a bad idea to come up with the villain from Fast 5, like, but there was there were some scenes that were interesting, but there was nothing really that Jason Momoa was bringing to the thing that felt like any bigger of a threat than all of the other bad guys that came before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still fun, and I think they did hook me, not necessarily with the cliffhanger, but more with the fact that Rock is coming back. So I am interested in seeing Fast 11, but I felt like this was one of those, like, it almost felt like a filler.
This,
like,
was the Dragon Ball Z episode.
It was Dragon Ball Z. Yeah,
what's happening? As I said, I am a big Fast and the Furious fan, but this is the first time I've ever sat in the theater and went, this movie don't make no sense. Now, mind you, I've been here for every twist and turn, all of them. I'm like, I'm fucking here. Literally, at one point, when Fast 5, when they had the flashback and they're like dragging the tanks, and I'm like, I mean, the safe, I'm like, this shit don't make sense, because it took two of them to drag the safe. But then I forgot, at one point, Vin Diesel just like takes it himself and starts swinging it around and hitting cars off the bridge. I forgot about that. And I was like, this shit is fucking great. James earlier said that this movie has one of the best lines, you know, in cinematic history. I believe this movie has one of the best
in cinema history.
Action movie villains in cinematic history. Okay. Jason Momoa.
You love him. Saying,
Jason Momoa is so insane. I haven't seen somebody have this much fun since Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man. Like, he is insane. I mean,
similar 100%. Characters, kind of.
It is about, like, this movie, Bray is right, it's 100% a filler. Like, to me, if I was ever had a chance to impact anything on the Fast and Furious franchise, in my mind, I'm like, I would look towards Mission Impossible, where I'm like, the thing that used to be cool and the thing that made me really excited about, like, Fast 5, even Fast 7, is that so much of that stuff was done practically. Like, you know, they didn't have a gigantic weight, But in Rio, they did have like a thing they were dragging down the street. And of course, they like added whatever, whatever. But clearly, everything in this movie was so CGI. I was like, bruh, I just like, and, yeah. And then also, it's so tough because the characters are so, it's so many characters that I'm like, hey, yo, bruh, if this is the finale, if this is the two part finale, you got to kill off one of the mains. And like, Ludacris got to go, Tyrese got to go. Like, somebody, it has to be, or someone has to get hurt. Like, there's no weight to the movie anymore. And it's tough because I'm like, every villain is a friend now, you know?
Literally, I told Tessa that I was like, after every movie, the villain becomes a part of the crew. So it just, they keep, and she was like, she was like, that's brilliant. So they can kill people. And I was like, yes, except for the fact that when they do kill people, the people come back.
It's no weight.
I was like, so they don't even kill, like they kill them and then they're back, you know? It's like, it doesn't make, it's like, so, you know, there's, I mean, we'll get to it, but like when a character dies in this movie, there's zero weight to it. And maybe that person is dead, but I don't believe it.
I think they might be dead, but I also was just like, that's a fucking stupid way to die. I was like, you didn't have to do that.
Also, yeah, it made no sense.
I'm going to spoil one thing and I'm going to toss it to you, James. There was at one point in this movie that I audibly groaned, and I am not a person that does that in movies, but spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, when fucking Gal Gadot shows up, the thing is that when she passed away in the movie, she fell from a plane into fire. And not only did she fall from the plane, the camera stayed on her so we could see her disappear into the fire. Like, she fell from a plane again, which, one, you die from that. Then she fell from a plane.
In case you don't remember.
She fell from a plane, which you die from. But then she fell from the plane into flames, which you double die. She got double tapped in the movie, and then she showed up.
And Han watches it happen. His like eyes are trained on her, and you can see him sad because she's died.
And then all of a sudden, she shows up looking gorgeous, and I'm like, it don't make sense. Okay, now I'm done. I still had fun, but it don't make sense.
And then
James, as you are.
All I'll say, because you know, it's a lot to say. My entry point to the Fast franchise was Fate. Fate of
Fate. What happened in that one, James? Who was Fate?
Had an absolute ball. What do you mean? What happened?
Submarine.
Don't nobody know what happened in
Fate. Was that the first one with Charlize?
It was the submarine one.
Charlize Theron, she kidnaps Dom's family and uses that against him. So
was that her?
That was her
first
one.
Was that her first one? That was her first.
It was her
one?
First
okay.
one. Yeah. It was
that was
first
the thing
one,
I was not aware.
Yeah, the nuclear now, submarine, and they're like driving
now,
on ice.
I had a ball seeing that. Fast 9 didn't quite top it. And I was like, how are you not going to be able to top? You got to, you know. So I wasn't as into it. I had a great time with Fast X. Everything everybody's saying is correct. You know, it doesn't make no sense. It's complete nonsense.
So you like Fast X more than Fast 9?
I liked it more than 9. I had a great, okay. The opening fight stuff with Charlize, all of that. I was like, I was very into it. I had a ball, okay. I was happy that they didn't try to top going to space because I thought they can't top going to space.
They could not.
They didn't even try. And I echo a lot of sentiments of like whenever we like cut to like Tyrese being like I'm a leader. It's like what is it?
Why,
I don't care.
Tyrese?
I don't want to see it. Like I don't.
That entire Pete Davidson scene. I was just like, I don't fucking care, man. I don't care at all.
Pete Davidson says. A ghetto magician. And it's like supposed to be a laugh line. And it was just like, well,
it's so funny.
But yeah. I mean what I said, like the car line at the end, like this franchise somehow takes itself so seriously while also being like super self-aware in a way that's, I've never seen that before. Like I've never seen something on this scale like that. And so, I had a great time.
You know, they say time waits for no one, and neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin.
Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin,
you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from earning. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Every time they would cut from like Toretto, like talking about Elena and being like, you know, it's sometimes your brother is a cop and you're a street racer, but it doesn't mean you can't be both or something. And then it cuts like John Cena having like a like a road trip singing Marky Mark. I'm just like, what the fuck? What,
it's so
what movie
interesting
are we
because,
doing?
Because even thinking about that, Demi, the tone of this movie, like, again, to me, when I watched Fast and Furious, like someone even asked like a couple weeks ago, like, oh, if you could be in a franchise, what would it be? I was like, Fast and Furious. It's insane. You know what I'm saying? It's insane. I love it. But there's something about getting to this point where I'm like, oh, we've been around for 20 years. Everyone's older, grizzled. I feel like instead of being more adult, it's gotten more kiddish where I'm like, oh, there needs to be fear. You know what I mean? Like the thing that was really cool thinking about what James is talking about with Fast, Fate of the Furious, is that in Fate of the Furious, when Charlize shows up, she just shoots Elena with the baby. Like the baby's like right in her, like right next to her. Yeah. And she's just like, cool, bet. And just, that's it. And I'm like, there's no fear to that. Like at no point that I was like, at no point did I think Jason Momoa would like attempt to kill anybody. You know what I mean? It felt like he was having too much fun to do anything like deadly.
Yeah. I actually was surprised he didn't kill more people because
it didn't make any sense.
The vibe I got for him was that he would, like, that he actually would just, like, the vibe I got was that, like, once everything was right, he was going to just murk everybody. And it was weird that he did.
My thing, like, okay, so, like, I mean, we'll just, like, kind of go through the movie a bit, but, like, one of the things that I'm so confused about with Jason Momoa is, like, he is introduced by Charlize Theron as the devil. Yep. Like, she was like, I thought I was the devil, but, like, I met the devil tonight or something along those lines, right? Like, he's so much worse than me. And his whole thing also is, like, I'm not going to just kill Dom, you know, I'm going to make him suffer. Like, killing is too easy, so I have to make him suffer first.
Yep.
In my mind, the way to make Dom suffer is to constantly be killing people that he loves and he can't do anything about it, right?
Yes.
And like, we kind of get that a little bit. And also, this movie definitely borrowed from The Dark Knight, I think, because there's a lot.
Both.
Yeah.
100%.
He's doing the 100%. Joker.
Doing the Joker, yeah.
He's doing the Joker and Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. It's like a combo. Yeah. And like the whole, like, you can't save them both kind of thing. I was like, okay, cool. That's like fully The Dark Knight. But we get that scene with like two people. First of all, one that we are introduced to in the movie, so we don't care about truly at all. And another who was in Fast Five.
I don't remember.
But is such a small character. And the only reason I remember is because I literally just saw it again. But like, he's such a small character that it's like, who cares? You know, like, you
can't do in the race.
Dude who's like, the one who's like, I side with Dom.
Oh, that guy was in Fast Five?
He's in Fast Five for like one scene. It's like The Rock rolls up on Dom, and then he's like, we're taking you in right now. And he's like, I own the streets. Like, he basically does kind of the same thing. And that guy does basically what he does exactly in this movie, which is like everybody, their whole crew, like, takes out a gun. But in this movie, it's like, you know, Jason Momoa also has a crew that also takes out guns. And I was like, I don't know. Anyway, it's part of this, like, they just kept doing things from the other movies, but to me, not necessarily in a better way. They just recreated them. I don't know.
No, man. But to
It was tough because I felt like why didn't he kill? And the biggest character who dies in this movie, it's not
we
really
just
because
met this
Jason,
dude.
Just we met him.
Yeah, one, we just met him.
What,
we He's just been in met one him. Other movie. And also he, it's not even like he had to die. It's not like anybody really killed him. He basically killed himself.
Yeah he was like, tell your, what did he say? He was like, hey, Dom, you did a good job. And I was like, wait, what? You have cannons on your car. Like, shoot them.
You have a car that can easily go through this, like, this median and just shoot them with the missiles. It works.
Kamikaze.
He wanted to die.
It really felt like that.
If that was my brother and he killed himself for that, I would be distraught. I would just be like, I don't understand. You didn't have to lose your life for this.
Let's skip around. I just got to get this off my chest. Okay, again, I'm saying these things that I genuinely love, but in my mind, they don't make sense. Okay. At one point, Dom is like, oh shit, because, you know, Tyrese gets caught in like a fake plan set up over in Rome. And so Dom knows some shit is going down, and him and Michelle Rodriguez, him and Letty, they got to go. So he leaves his son.
I was just going to add real quick that they had this line for why they couldn't just call them. They were just like, they're like, everything is jammed. Cell phones, emails, like, and it was just like, something is jammed. Like, they couldn't explain why nothing was going
on. What do you mean email is jammed also? How does that, it made no sense. They can't check their email? They can't check their email.
But it was just like this, like, line they had to like throw in to explain why they couldn't just be like, hey, this is actually a setup. They're like, nope, we gotta travel.
Also, how
there.
Would you get them when you travel?
Yeah.
My thing is, if you can't text them, when you get to Rome, was the plan to drive around? Also, okay.
Yes.
But that is what they do. They literally drive around until they're close enough. And then they see them and go, oh, turn off the signal jammer.
There's an explosion. Right.
And then their walkie-talkies work. It's like, Rome, it's a
How
crap.
Did you know the frequency?
I was like, what? Wait, okay, that works?
Before I even get to that point, Jordana Brewster has been here since Fast and the Furious. As we've known her as a character, she is one of the people I feel like has been the most let down, okay? Because in the first one, she's like the damsel in distress, the sister. In this one, I'm like, oh, shit, she's going to be a part of the gang. You know what I mean? Like, she clearly has to know how to drive, so maybe they're going to give her a car or some shit. We get the scene where she's left with the kid. We ain't seen Jordana fight in any of the movies, but Dom knows somebody's setting up the family. We just saw the big bad from the other two movies show up bloody, and was like, hey, somebody coming after you. So the person you leave your son with is the one that never had a gun, the one that never fought, and it's just them two with no security system, no... At their house. You're not in
just
like
their house.
You're not hidden nowhere.
He goes to Rio. Yeah. He goes off the map. He's like, they're coming for me and my son. I'm going to go to Rio.
My son, he
can stay at the house.
I know. I was like, why are you at the home? Wait, when Charlize Theron rolls up on your home, don't you go like, well, and she knows where I live, then clearly... I should probably get it. Also, they didn't have, like, I was like, you guys don't have a panic room? You have no actual escape plan?
They got nothing. They don't have a garage.
Yeah.
That street is lined with fancy ass cars. And I was like, that's a fucked up thing
my
to do
man
at Echo
is
Park.
Chilling.
When they told the kid, like, go run, he just
I
goes
truly
to a,
thought
like,
he
a
was going
to a corner, bro.
Yeah, I thought he would go behind a wall or something. He went to
that
a corner
man sat
in the bathroom.
In a corner.
It made us crazy.
What? I was like, y'all got no plan.
Also, okay, and again, all this stuff was fun to watch. Okay.
But Gerard, I do think that the reason that they were left there is that John Cena was the protection. Like that, like they're there.
That's all they
and
needed.
The protection is John
put
Cena.
Jordana on the mission, but I guess That's she crazy. Had to deal with, you know, Paul Walker. Okay, this is my last thing so we can get to
the as far as I've seen in all the movies I've seen, she's never on a
Which
mission.
Sucks.
She shows up, she does
she's
one scene.
There.
She's been sidelined because Paul Walker.
Because Paul Walker's not in the
but
movie.
Even when
okay,
he was,
yeah, I thought so. Yeah. I thought so.
Oh,
but the thing is, it's stupid, though, because Paul Walker's dead, but Brian is alive. And if Brian were dead, it would make sense for her to be going on missions. But because Brian's alive, she's just at home with Brian.
Yeah,
and
so,
I'm like,
so she
kill
can,
Brian.
yeah.
So should have made Brian
the
dead.
Thing.
Yeah.
I also thought they were going to kill Brian in this one. I thought that
would have been the way to do it.
It would have been
such an easy thing to do, James. It would have been.
I think it would have been crazy.
It would have been crazy
if three movies later they're like, he killed him off screen.
Yeah.
Or you did
one of those Fast and Furious things where, like, you know, he's got two brothers. You see him walk into the car, and all of a sudden there's like, kaboom. And that starts the movie. And it's like, because that puts.
Yeah. Or he's like, I'm coming.
You know, you fight for that. Also,
I agree. Play that trump card.
And then my thing is for Charlize to be like, I saw the devil. And then we go to her flashback. She never fights or faces Jason Momoa. So it's like she never.
The thing about the villain, she doesn't fight him.
That's
every
right.
villain Definitely. In this franchise is now like they establish how like crazy or scary they are by being like, they're a better hacker. Like, oh God, Statham's a really good hacker. And then it's like, Charlie's like, she's a really good hacker. And then Reyes shows up and it's like, whoa, he out-hacked the really good hacker. And I'm like, you can't just keep being like, they're an even
to
better
To me, it's like,
hacker.
Strip the movie down. Like, 100, I'm like, yo, strip it. Strip it. It's like, we don't have to globetrot. Like, you can put that shit in the area and just make that shit gritty. Like, I don't know about when you guys saw it, but before this movie came on, the new Mission Impossible trailer came out. And I'm looking at this trailer with an almost 60-year-old or maybe 60-year-old Tom Cruise. And I'm like, this movie will probably be the movie of the summer because this man is doing shit that a human should not be able to do, but we know is real because the camera is here. Like, I see him and his face and the wind rippling off his eyebrows. So I know it's him. And I'm like, just do that. Give me some street cars, baby. Like, for real, race again. You know, like,
I feel like that's not the appeal of this franchise, though. I feel like Fast 5 and 7 are the high marks because it's a good combo where it's like they did a lot of that stuff. They really shot a car out of a building, but then it's got like a CGI sheen over it. And it's like they got to find a way to be like insane, but still kind of
practical. Fast 6 was the one where they did the stunt. I mean, it wasn't real, but they did the like car through the three building. Like
that was
skyscrapers,
seven.
Right?
That was 7.
That was
Paul
7.
Walker was still alive for that.
What was
the beginning of it?
What was 6?
6.
What was like the big
6 There's
was
not
Statham.
Really a
six
lot
was,
like.
No, 6 wasn't. It was
no,
Statham.
7
6
is Statham.
Was Statham's brother. It was the other guy. He was very forgettable.
I feel like the thing I remember about 6 is a tank rolling through the streets, running over the cars, and like Dom launching himself to
catch
the
thing
Letty.
And like, he broke, he defied gravity.
Because was 7 the one where he used the crane?
When
he caught a crane and like swung?
I think so. That was 9?
Oh, that was 9.
Oh, wait, that was 9?
Yeah, where he like drives off of the cliff and then catches the car on a crane and swings around.
Oh, yeah, that's 9.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow, dude.
Okay.
What was the death-defying
Wait,
one?
6
in this
is the one that I actually don't remember
at all. What
was the
big stunt for this? Like, what was the...
I guess it was the Rome, but Rome was like... Rome was kind of to me.
It's fun because it's like a pinball type deal, but that's... Yeah, there's not...
But that's what I liked about the... I liked that this one... I mean, granted, a lot of the stuff that they do is like stuff that we've either seen before or like not trying to top something that we've seen before. Mm. And that's what I liked about it because truly, had I seen, like, the thing that made me not roll my eyes in this was that there was never anything that they were like, this is the worst thing I've ever, you know, like this, no one could ever do this, you know, because they've already done all that stuff, you know. So I liked that it felt a little bit smaller. They do. What do they? They do.
I guess
say,
maybe
jump out of a plane.
But also,
or,
maybe the dam is supposed to be the big one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. The dam.
The dam. I don't know why the dam just kind of felt. I was like, I don't care. Like he's driving down the side of a dam. I just felt a little like
that was disappointing to me because that I don't think it's the greatest line in cinematic history, but I
great.
Do think
well,
it was. I did think it was a very very good line, and. But for the action
agree to disagree,
after that,
I mean,
okay. Well, for the action after the greatest line in cinematic history to
Thank
just
you.
Be he drives down a dam felt like, well, that doesn't feel that cool. Because we've seen you do
and
way cooler
like,
things with the car, you know?
And it does the freeze frame where he like hits the NOS to outrun the fire. And then he's just like, he's at the bottom of the dam. And Momoa's just kind of like, I also rigged the dam with
when?
Explosives.
When?
And I was like, what? And then they have the, God, there's too much stuff to talk about. They do the plane crash of like, your friends were on that plane and it crashed. I don't think a single person believes
no
that
way.
They're not dead. Like, it's we all are like, no, yeah, they're going to come back in the next movie. They maybe got in the cars and drove out or something. But it's just like, this franchise is not set up in any way for us to truly think, oh, yeah, my God, what a loss. So it just feels like you just kind of stopped in the middle of the movie. Yeah.
It would be cool if they were all dead at the start of the next movie.
100%.
It would be fantastic. I mean,
if we're all dead at the start of
Fast
11.
But would it be cool? Because then it's like the death was also kind of... Because to me, the John Cena death was like, I want a better death.
It's a bigger deal. Like,
You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially when Han dies in Tokyo...
Yeah, it was Tokyo Drifter.
He died in Tokyo Drifter. Like, when Han dies, like, it's like, it is actually tragic, and you do feel it. You know what I mean? And so, like, but then, you know, because you keep bringing people back from the dead, at least if you're going to have a fake death, make it, like, I don't know if you guys saw, this is a weird, no, never mind, I won't talk about it. I was going to spoil another movie.
That's a newer movie.
There's a newer Marvel movie.
Oh, okay, anyway. It's fine. I probably see.
There's a fake death in a Marvel movie that I was like, well, that looks like a freaking real death. And I was kind of, I was like, oh, are they really doing this? And then they're like, hey, JK. But like, at least make us think like this is a real death.
We don't do that.
Real,
we don't do that here. Death.
Yeah.
I mean, what's so tricky, anyway. I will say the thing I did like about this movie, though, is, I mean, again, it's so tough because some of the performances are so insane. And I will admit this. I am a big Charlize Theron fan. And so what was tough about her before is like she is, if you've seen her movies, she is probably one of the best female actresses who can actually do action, like hand-to-hand combat. Like if you watch Atomic Blonde, and I'm like, oh, great. We have this dope scene with her and Letty, which is like this really cool hand-to-hand fight. And I'm like, you know what? You need to mix more things like that into these movies to me now. Like I feel like, I mean, I don't know how you John Wick it up. I just feel like we just need to like throw something in here. But Jason Momoa was so fun to me because at one point I'm like, they just had transitions of him just going from place to place, which were so unnecessary. But he would come out like twirling his arms, and I'm like, you just thought this dude was fun because like this isn't when he's like at the race and he's like rubbing his fingers on the guns. I'm like, yo, bro, my man is just having the best time of his life. The only thing that is scary to me is that he is probably the final villain. And I'm like, I'm not sure once you bring back The Rock, now that we have Brie Larson.
He's the final
villain. I
think
he has to be. Like, because to me, it's like, if you're going to make a movie like this, to me, the smartest thing to do is to bring somebody back that's attached to the past. And like, he's the only person left. You know what I mean? And I'm like, how does he go up against Jason Statham, Charlize Theron, The Rock, Vin Diesel? Like, what can this dude do now?
Well, do any other, this is just a question, do any others end on a cliffhanger like this?
No.
Like,
no.
Because
no.
That's the other reason that it feels like, he'll be like overarching over the rest of them because they're there. It would be weird if the next one was a part two and he dies in that and then there's someone else for the last one.
That would be just
none of them end in like a cliffhanger, but Fate does end with Charlize Theron getting away. Oh, yeah. And like she was, like to me, it was like, I was like, well, you already kind of set up like a major villain who's still alive. So like, I didn't understand why they didn't just keep with her, you know? And like now,
they didn't have the confidence to, because it's like she gets away, but then they go like, well, she's kind of a minor villain in the next movie with her. And now she's just like,
now she's nothing.
I'm probably going to be part of the family, which I'm like, no, she like shot your ex-wife.
Yeah,
I think you should not have her. Don't spin that around. I mean, they did it with Statham, even though he supposedly killed Han, but unless they bring back Elena.
She got shot in the head.
I could see them doing, even though
she
got shot in the head in front of Vin Diesel. But still, it could be just like, I had to fake my death for like, Brian's protection or whatever the fuck.
But then Charlize could like not be, it could be that like they are just sort of waiting for her to.
Which I'm fine with.
You know, but like, and like in the last one, she has some final overarching kind of
thing. If she takes out Jason Momoa.
This was my plan all along.
Yep, I'm here. If she.
Yeah.
If she.
Yeah, she sacrifices herself.
There's only one person who hasn't come back yet, and that's Eva Mendes. I think didn't Jason Statham's brother die in Fast 6, or did he go to jail? I think he died, right?
I No, he went to jail because he helped save the baby in 8. Right.
So, I mean, he could come back as a villain.
And Eva Mendes kind of came back because she like drops the photo that is of Letty, but I don't think she's interested in actually coming back in any real role.
I also never saw the fourth movie. I don't know what happened.
That's Fast and the Furious.
Dom is a detective.
That's Fast and Furious.
Is that Michelle Rodriguez dies in that movie?
Yeah, and Dom solves her death by touching the ground and imagining what happened.
I do remember that.
What? It's
because doesn't she join? No. Because like he dies, and that's the one when all three of them came back. It was like him, Paul Walker, and Michelle came back to like.
Right, because Tokyo Drift was none of them, except for Vin making a cameo at the end. But,
I feel like this. Fast X is clearly, they wanted this to be Infinity War. They wanted it to be like all these characters go off and then they lose at the end to this guy who you really want to see destroyed in the next one. And I'm just like, I don't know that they can pull that off.
They didn't. Well, here's my thing. I mean, like in the terms of, I know you guys liked it, but like to me, it's like if you're going to do that, one of the reasons Infinity War felt so devastating was that it played the correct beats of, like, it looks like they're going to lose. And then it's like, nope, they're going to win. You know, like Thor gets his god hammer and like comes, you know, and like they're winning here. They're beating them here. And then it's like actually too late. Like every moment where you think they're going to win, they lose. Mm-hmm. And like this was like, you never really felt, you never really felt like they were winning. And then like also the plane going down was like,
and you don't believe that they're also, you don't believe, you never felt like they were winning.
And you believe they're losing.
Don't believe they're losing.
At no point.
It's weird. Yeah.
You know? And so like, I don't know, like him, even him being like, you forgot to take my car and then driving into the dam. Like I was like, okay, even if that wasn't a part of the setup where he had a bombs attached to the bridge, I was like, you still didn't win. You're right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and he's chasing you constantly, and he has the god eye. Like, he can find you at any point. So,
oh yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of the god's eye, speaking of the god's eye, there's a very funny line after it gets stolen by Momoa where Natalie Emanuel is just like, I never intended for it to be used for evil or something. And I'm just what did you think you were building a surveillance system for the government for if you were just like, for good. I'm doing this for good.
I was like, no, there's in no world was this ever going to be used for good.
Wait, can I ask?
Sorry.
When did Luda go from being a mechanic to the tech guy?
Fast five
is when he became the tech dude?
Five, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but that's the one everyone saw.
I saw it again, and the exposition dialogue, they're very good at this stuff. I believe either Vin or Tyrese, I think it's Tyrese, says, like, how did you get so good at this? And he says, and it's because Tyrese at one point in the movie says, like, I had a life before you knew me. And so then Ludacris has a comeback and he says, I had a life before you knew me. And that's supposed to be the explanation that we buy and never have to question again.
That he was always that smart.
It was just that we didn't know because we met him at a time where he wasn't doing that anymore.
Okay.
He left a lot behind, a life of being one of the world's greatest computer.
We're gonna see footage from the like moon landing in the next one, and they'll have CG young Luda into it. Like he was always
who's seen the newer like movies since Fast Five, if like you, James, like if you go back and watch Too Fast, Too Furious, the character couldn't be more different. It's just not even close to the same character. It's played by the same actor and the character's name is the same, but they are completely different people. Just wholesale.
I can't imagine looking at any of the stuff pre 8. I have tried to watch 5 even and it feels impossible, so I don't know if I can. I'm good just moving forward seeing what there is to come. But
I mean, you know what's so funny, Vin Diesel, I saw an interview when he was like, yeah, once we finish the trilogy now, the spinoffs will start. And I'm like, yo, look, let me get one of these spinoffs.
Start.
Well, the spinoff, first of all, the spinoffs already started.
Let me get one of these spinoffs.
They already started. And they began with probably the best chance you had of a successful spinoff, and then it didn't do it. I mean, Jason Statham and The Rock are the biggest movie stars a part of this franchise who do stuff outside of this.
God.
Like, what else are you going to
do? I hated that.
Yeah, and it wasn't that good.
You were like Black Superman?
Movie so much. Made me mad. I did not like Genocide Schmenicide, the line that Idris Elba says.
That thing was insane.
I also, it's kind of sad that Idris Elba was wasted on Hobbs and Shaw.
He'll be a good final villain.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I feel like I predict that Jason Momoa was going to be...
Yeah, I think
he
did.
Or
I feel like...
It makes perfect sense. I don't know who else could be in this franchise that has not yet. Like, what actor do you feel like it's crazy that they haven't been in here?
Who else is left? Keanu Reeves?
I don't know. Like, I mean...
Dave Bautista, maybe?
Oh. Keanu as John Wick would be
as
fun.
John Wick.
Bautista would be fun, but... I wouldn't make Bautista the villain. Like, Bautista would be a fun, like... Well, actually, Bautista would have been fun in this role that they have, I assume, another wrestler. I'm sorry.
Bautista,
who is this guy?
As the final villain would have been actually menacing. I would have been like, yeah. I think
we
he
haven't
might
even
win.
Talked about this guy. Who is...
Oh, God,
the fucking... Alan Richson.
Ames.
John Reacher. He was on the show, He was on Titans.
Jack Reacher.
And he was on this like comedy back in the day called like Blue Mountain or some shit. It was like, it was a raunchy teen.
Oh, he's the new Jack.
It was pretty funny.
Yes. He's in Catching Fire. I feel like that's what I remember him from.
Tessa actually really liked him. Did you guys like him?
No. I feel like, but also he shows up at a point where I was just like, there's too many people. And then Brie Larson also shows up, and I was like,
"Oh my god, we haven't talked about the fact that Brie Larson's in this movie for no reason. For
she's kind of barely
no
in
reason,
it.
And like for a role that I truly didn't understand why she. I was like, why don't
she's
you just breath. Have
she's a daughter.
Why don't you just have Eastwood? But why not just bring Eastwood back? Do they hate him? Like what? Like there's no way he's doing anything. why couldn't he just come back?
He does. Disappear.
They try to kill
him, but he's alive.
They need to kill him.
I mean, he's in the movie, but he's like." I'm like, why wouldn't he be doing what Brie Larson was doing in this movie? You know
because
what I
mean? Because they need another like muscle bound person to go up against now that they're bringing back The Rock and Jason Statham is back. They need people that like look like they're imposing forces. Yeah. So there can be more fight sequences and stuff.
Brie Larson?
Not Brie Larson. But
oh, I was like, they're like, you know who can take down The Rock
also,
is Brie Larson.
Also, she didn't get to fight. It's so funny. That scene of them in the CGI room was insane.
She really didn't do
that
anything.
That scene where it's like them just...
I liked her in this, though. I did like her characterization.
I don't know, man. I was like, when she showed up and they're just in that CG room and it's just like all the fake camera... I mean, fake screens and it's the cameras just going in circles.
It looked like... That was crazy. It was shots of the other movies, moments that I'm like, I know y'all didn't have a camera there. It looked like a 60-minute set. It was insane. And the camera kept spinning around. I was like, fucking stop.
The movie's angles of everything. Like, not even trying to look like surveillance. And that was so funny.
And was this the first time that they've established this kind of, like, League of Freaking Shadows, like,
well,
government
they brought them up.
Like,
but
I know, because...
So, yeah.
Because I was like, what? I was like, and I was like, so you guys, this is James Bond. This is a freaking, this is the, you know, what do you call it? The Spectre. Like,
yeah,
I was
but,
like,
but
what
who
are we
is
doing?
Mr. Nobody if he's not, if he's, I mean, again, I only started at
well,
eight,
why,
but his name is
Mr. Nobody,
Nobody. Like, it's
correct. But why? I thought Mr. Nobody was the top of the food chain, but apparently he's just a player with
Mr.
All
Nobody
the,
can't be. He got his hands dirty too many times to be the top of the food chain.
Well, no, time out. Sorry, I mean that it was like he's top of the agency, and the agency is beholden to, I assume, the president or America.
Right?
No,
go ahead,
Demi. I think you hit on this. I think I know how the movie's going to end. I know how the franchise is going to end. This movie. Oh. Mr. Nobody went into hiding, okay? The only other franchise with a Mr. Nobody is John Wick and Mr. Nobody. And we just learned from the last John Wick that world has a Mr. Oof. Nobody, okay? So what if all the strings are being pulled by the League of Assassins, you know, from the John Wick franchise, then all of a sudden, because time doesn't make sense. Say John Wick appears in this movie, okay, with the black Mr. Nobody, all right, and even Bob Odenkirk, now all of a sudden it's all of them fighting against fucking, Jason Momoa, and then Charlize Theron, and it's like a fucking, it is literally Avengers. We got the run across, and they're all fighting, and some people shooting and shit. Come on, baby! We got Mr. Nobody!
I'll tell you what, that's insane, but I'd see it. I'd certainly watch it.
I would absolutely see it. The thing about them trying to make this an Avengers movie is that, like, I don't feel like Jason Momoa is strong enough to defeat all of these people. Like, I'm just kind of like, if they just sort of put him in a room with even just Dom, he'd be fine. So I'm kind of like, I don't feel like, whoa, they're being beaten by this guy just because he can out-hack them. So I'm just like, there's no part of me that's like, how are they going to get him? How are they going
to
get him?
And he didn't do any hand-to-hand in this, right? Like, we didn't see him do anything like that. Okay,
No, we saw him drag into Charlize's thing where I assume he killed those people. Yeah. Oh, and he did, like, one. He, like, cut somebody's throat. And that was pretty much the extent of his hand-to-hand combat. He drives a little bit, but, like, not in a way that's cool.
No.
And he's mostly just kind of on the sidelines, just like orchestrate. Like, he just had like some master plan. But like we said, like the master plan, like we skipped this, but like the whole Rome incident where there's like this huge bomb that's gonna go blow up the Vatican. And like Dom seems that it doesn't seem like any of them are that concerned about being framed until like they actually realize that they're framed. Dom seems to be more concerned that, like, he's going to kill a bunch of, like, you know, innocent people and maybe the Pope.
He's worried about his status as a holy man. He's like, I can't go to hell.
But it's so, but, like, even when the bomb goes off and they're, like, looking, and it's, like, it felt like the movie wanted it to be this, like, really grave moment. But I was like, why do these guys care about some random people in Italy? They're not Italian. I mean, like, no, and I'm not even trying to be,
Hey, yo, Brain.
I don't get it.
No,
I don't,
but you know what I'm saying, though?
All these Hispanic and black people, who cares about it?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, they're acting like, I'm like, what, since when did they become the actual superheroes of the world where they care about, like, people who are trying to destroy the earth or something? Like, they only care about their family. They are all criminals, you know, like, what? I don't understand. Yeah.
I don't know the franchise enough for that to have occurred to me, but I did find myself laughing every time they would like push into Dom in the car as he rolled over the explosion so that he saved the people sitting at the table, and like the way he would bump the ball so that it would like not, so that it would knock out of the way and not hit certain pedestrians. Yeah. Like it was so funny that he was driving like and seemingly saving
like literally as if he was Superman, you know, as if he was Superman being like, well, it is my job to save the citizens of Earth, you know? And it's like, what? No. And
I thought it was awesome.
But it's never been him. Like he's never.
It's never their goal. They're never like, we got to go and save those people in that town. But it does feel like if they're around, they're just like, well, we're not going to let them die. So let me just drive over there real quick. See what I can do with my car. The entire pinball sequence did feel like he was just sort of like, this ball was rolling down the steps and they could have like driven in front of it to stop it. But he was more just like, I just got to get it out of the way. It's going
to
hit that
person. Am I supposed to believe that in Fast Five, he didn't kill one innocent civilian driving a freaking
Here's the thing.
Through Rio de Janeiro?
Yes.
I'm supposed to believe that he didn't kill one innocent person driving a Volt through Rio de Janeiro like that crashed into God knows how many cars and buildings.
And it was this scene. It was this scene that showed us that any other time they recklessly drove through cities, they didn't kill a single person. They made sure.
I think you are supposed to believe that the mortality rate for this version of Earth is the exact same as ours, plus like four, and it's all four very, very bad guys.
Unbelievable. They also kill endless henchmen. Whatever. I mean,
nope. All those henchmen are alive. They got tired. They got hit by a bullet and they're tired, but they've never killed anybody.
They got hit by a bullet.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and they're tired now. It took them out of them.
Well,
It just has never been a part of the franchise that he cared about saving people. And like all of a sudden I was like, okay,
he always cared, John.
Every single person.
That's one mark in the column that he might be Italian. If this were happening in like Africa, he'd be like, that's not my people. I don't care.
Yo, he didn't change so many races.
Man.
Well, we do know a couple of things. You know, again, seeing Gal Gadot back, she smiled. That was great. But seeing The Rock, The Rock show up. All right, this is my thing, okay? People, you know, TikTok, social media, I feel like has been coming at The Rock pretty rough after Black Adam. But when The Rock shows up on screen with the goatee, bruh, and now it's all white, and my man, bruh, when my man showed up, and his line read of, I'm not hard to find. Just some bitch. And like, my man.
Honestly, that may be the greatest line in cinematic history. At least, greatest line delivery.
That delivery was
line delivery for sure.
The thing is, there was so much happening. Was like the camera is on his face. And the thing is like, I feel like I haven't seen that close an image of The Rock. So when he took that breath, he opened, it's like his eyes went cross-eyed when he said it. And then I was like, my man just crushed the phone. then he crushed the phone. And I don't know if y'all noticed this, but like smoke came out of the phone when he like squeezed it in his hand. I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
I gotta say,
it's a cartoon.
I was truly hoping that was not The Rock, that was some proxy for him, and that we were going to see a faceless Rock explode. That's what I was hoping was going to happen.
What?
I truly was like, in my mind, I was like, I hope that The Rock doesn't come back.
Why would they do that?
He's been very vocally not coming back. You know, they have the tiff between him and Vin.
Setup.
And
it was awful. And that's Vin, probably fake.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Right? Bitch.
I feel like, I will say, as soon as they go to that post-credit scene, I was like, they're bringing back The Rock. But then when they have the one guy with the mask on, I was like, that man is not yoked enough to
play. I agree. I thought it didn't.
I was like, that is not.
I wonder if they shot like some footage of a person walking around that wasn't The Rock. Because I was looking, I was like, that doesn't look like The Rock. Even though in my mind, I was like, well, it's the only person it could
but
be
also,
that would make this post-credit scene make
I thought they were
going to
kill him. I thought they were going to be like, oh, y'all wanted him.
I really wanted that.
I thought.
In the post-credit, you got the last minute of the movie.
You thought he was coming
back. The credits.
And then, poop, he shot. And I was like, oh, shit. Because that would have been like, there's no stakes, bruh. Like, if you ask me, like, this movie ended.
There are no,
Like, the cliffhanger is like the water's coming towards Dom and his son.
Yes.
Not even. It's just he's in the dam. I don't think the dam is blown up.
I think so. No, I think the water's coming. I think the water's coming.
I think it blew up.
Oh.
But okay, my favorite part
show
about
it but
is
we,
the,
yeah.
They show Dom just like kind of like give a stare like as if he's like facing down like this onslaught
the water.
Water and concrete that's hurling at him and I'm just like, what are we doing?
What? He's gonna punch all that water, don't you worry.
Like, who comes to save
him? Honestly, I would respect this film so much. It's if the start of this thing, there's water and concrete coming at him, and he just goes and he takes his son and he just kind of does a little embrace and then fully flies into the air. and just truly flies in the air and then with laser eye beams kills Jason.
And the flashback is like in the moments of the dam exploding, he drank a little bit of the NOS and it gave him superpowers.
Honestly, exactly.
Yes. Honestly, makes sense to me.
We got to talk about his superhuman hearing that seems to have debuted in this movie where in the race, like, loud people yelling, cars revving. Jason Momoa starts talking about, oh, Dom, you didn't know. And it's like, he can hear him. He's like turning and listening. And it's just like, who are you going to save? And then suddenly he looks at both the cars. I'm like, you can't hear this, man. You can't hear a goddamn thing he's saying. And then at the very end, in the dam, Jason Momoa is like, good going, Dom. But, and then like Dom suddenly like goes from looking from his son up to realizing that there are explosives on the dam. And I was like, How? How did you hear him? Why are you suddenly turning up there? You did not hear a fucking word he has said.
Listen, Debbie, this man knows how to calculate the exact, you know, mechanics and geography and geometry to like spin a car and knock bomb, like to hit a bomb, yeah. to make sure that his car can block flames, you know, knock a car off course so that it flips and then dislocates a bomb that's underneath the car. Not his car, somebody else's car.
Listen, this book.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's kind of a wizard.
He's literally a mathematical genius on a level that Einstein could only dream about, you know.
You know what moment got the biggest surprise applause in my screening is when there's that, Jason Momoa and Letty are racing through Italy and he knocks that thing down. You think she's going to stop. And instead, she does like a little sort of like break and pivot over the thing with the motorcycle. Yes. The crowd went wild.
That was cool.
I think it was the first small moment where you're just like, all right, they're back. That's the crazy shit.
It looks so
you can't
good.
Do that.
It looks so
like,
good.
I loved it. It looks great.
The moment when he's like, all right, I'm just driving this car off this plane and it just will land onto the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on the street. And truly not, and just go.
You're right. Now,
had they not done that before? Had they not done that before?
They did it with parachutes. So they did it before, and they were like, "Hey, we'll actually try to make like this pretend like it makes sense, and we'll have them have parachutes." And this time,
and they did that practically. Actually, they did. They dropped those cars and they parachuted them down. So there's a little bit of some semblance of this could
happen. Yeah. And this one was literally like, "No, his car has the ability to." Drop from a plane
land on other cars.
To me, I was actually mad that the way that came about was like Ames is like, it's like I can't land here. And then his response is like, I didn't say anything about landing.
Who said anything about landing?
But I wanted him to say, did you forget who you're talking to? And then get into the car because it's just,
he should.
It just feels like
every time someone is just like, you can't do that. He should just be like, stop saying you don't know who I am. Yeah.
By the way, the shot of Ames when like it's revealed that did you know what? That Jura? Because you always have an inkling if somebody's gonna be the bad guy.
I didn't know he was gonna be the bad guy.
Because he was kind of already
he was
the bad guy
the whole time. So I was like, if anything, I thought he was gonna die.
That's why it worked for me.
But then I was like, oh yeah, he's on his side. You know what it was? I don't know if you guys used to watch wrestling back in the day, but when Hulk Hogan went bad, like he still had his blonde hair, but he like great, like he blackened his beard for some reason. He like grabbed a bit and just put black dye on it. So the whole time I'm looking at this dude, and again, I think I just watched stuff with him in it, and I'm like, yo, is this beard black? Like, why is this dude, like, why does he look so weird to me? Like, he had this, like, I was like, yo, this dude clearly has to be a bad guy. He has a tight-ass shirt on. He's, first off, and this is fucked up, but I'm sorry. I was like, this dude is supposed to be, like, really smart, or, like, he's, like, the smart dude for, like, whatever this government organization is. And I'm like, in any other movie, he would be the dumb underling. You know what I mean?
And I think he has been in other things. Like, I think he's played the dumb, bulky guy.
I don't believe this. I'm sorry.
I was genuinely surprised when he turned out to be the bad guy. And I think it's just because I was like, well, he was already the bad guy and then becomes part of the family. And I was like, yeah, sure. So when he is bad again, he's like, oh, do you think he was going to come to the cookout, be part of the family? I was like, yeah, like, damn. All right. I just assume. I was like, oh, another guy. But it makes more sense that way because I'm like, You have too many people. I also keep wanting them to do a thing where it's like they have to extend the table at the fucking cookout. I'm like, just keep being like, God damn it,
man,
another chair.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, I know the family stuff is a joke, but I'm like, this is insane. It's like, you'll have family. Like, his superpower is family.
It's too much.
I guess makes sense, but it's like, I don't know.
But once again, they've already done, like, every single one of these beats, they've already done. So, like, none of it really feels that, you know, I forgot if we said this scene. The one scene that I did genuinely like setting up Momoa's character was him like with the two dead dudes, and he like was like doing tea with them, and like
I hated it. I was that. I feel like I'm the only one who
I
hated
it. I mean, I didn't, I mean, I also kind of hated it, but I feel like that was the one scene where I was like, whoa, this dude is different than. I was like, also, this is the darkest thing that I've seen Fast and Furious do.
Yeah,
like,
with
this
tape.
That absolutely was just playing with corpses.
Yeah, I was like, this is this is truly
that was messed up.
Gross and psychotic. And like, I was like, okay, well, if this is what you're going to do, that makes sense. But it was strange because that it still didn't, it didn't feel in alignment with like what he was actually doing in his plans. You know what I mean? Like, I get the final plan of killing him, Dom, and his son together. That makes a lot of sense. But like, the other stuff just felt like
the whole time.
Should have been killing people the whole time. It should have been, I'm going to,
one
like,
by
it should
one.
Been
he should have been hunting
someone
down, like, one by
I
one.
I can't believe no one died in Rome. He
Nobody,
blew up two cars, but then left the entire,
and that's my thing. His whole thing was just blowing up just like innocent people. And like, I get it, but it's also like, but why? That doesn't hurt him the most.
No.
No. Well, he does love cars. So every time he destroys a car, I bet
he never took his car, though.
That would actually have been funny. That would actually have been funny if he like blew up some cars in front of him.
Like,
or destroyed his own car. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
That's okay. Right. That car goes through so much shit. It is transported somehow across multiple countries seamlessly. And at the end, he's like, you never took my car. It looks pristine.
Every time.
I'm like, is he taking it to a body shop in different countries
for
missions?
He does it. He does it.
I guess so. But oh, God damn. Gosh.
Guys, this movie was great. Okay. But I do think there was one thing this movie was missing, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the beauty of this movie is that it touches on every race. You know, it's equality, it's genders. Yeah. And I think the one thing we don't see enough of in Hollywood is multiracial orgies. You know what I mean? I feel like we never see those.
Oh my God.
Drew, this isn't the Patreon.
What,
I just want to remind
you. This isn't about that, right? This is about.
Okay.
This is
okay.
About.
Bray looks up for a second and is like, wait, I stopped paying attention for just a minute.
We have a chance with this franchise, okay?
All right.
I feel like we rarely see interracial relationships.
On the main.
Interracial relationships in blockbusters, okay? This movie, you could have intermixed with anybody. Like, I mean, we had Latino.
You simply cannot downgrade from orgies to relationships as if that's what you was talking about the whole time.
Relations, James, what I'm saying. Relations.
Sorry, I'm just saying, you never see a kiss,
okay?
All right?
What I'm saying is, James, you had so many opportunities where there were so many near-death experiences. Well, you know what? I don't know, man. If my life about to end, I'm like, hey, you know what? We about to die anyway. We should just make out. And who knows what happened after that. And you know what? This movie would have broke new ground, okay? We would have seen, I don't know,
that should have been Tyrese's through line. Every scene just being like, man, we could die at any time. Anyone want to kiss me? Rome, you want to kiss me? He's like, no, man, I don't want to kiss you. He's like, come on, Rome, we're about
Look
to die.
That.
Come on, just give me a kiss,
Listen,
Rome.
Listen, man, this movie has a chance to break new ground and go into the new millennium, all right? But they didn't do it. They didn't do it.
That's next movie. I think because they will have survived death, Rome is just going to be like, man, I thought I was dead there for a second. It made me realize I'm not kissing enough. Tash, come over here. Give me a kiss.
That's all I got to say. I'm just saying they could have went for it, man.
Wow.
They could have went for it, man.
Called
That's
Fist
all I'm
X.
Saying. Missed opportunity.
That was
missed
wild.
Opportunity. That's all. That's all. Wow.
I guess so.
And if you're getting this, if you're getting this on the main, what would you get on Patreon? That's all I James, anything?
I don't have anything wild to add. I normally talk about like Hancock or Steel or I can't remember what else I was doing. But I'm not gonna do that right cool. now. I really had a good time though. Okay, I really had a good time. Fast X. I might I'll see the other movies and maybe I'll have a different opinion about it going forward.
All right, cool. I love that.
I feel like I want to rewatch this movie. Just talking about it makes me just feel like I'm like I didn't. There's stuff I missed. There's stuff I didn't talk about that I want. Like the line where Tyrese reveals that he's got money and someone's like, tell me you're not wearing Spanx. And he's like, Spanx?
Yes.
I'm wearing Banks. Someone cackled with just at the audacity of that line because it is so it's such a, like, someone coming up and being like, I got a pitch. Let's add a storyline for this joke. And it doesn't work.
It's like, you just got to swing all the jokes.
But there's so many things like that. Yeah.
Also, speaking of that, though, the cologne stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The cologne stuff.
What was that?
But was that a reference to, like, their personal cologne or something? It felt like it was supposed to mean something.
No
a little
idea.
Bit more. You know what I mean?
I got no idea.
I think it was just a joke. Right.
There's too much stuff in this movie that feels like it's supposed to be a reference that you don't get. Yeah. And I feel like it's not a reference. It's just, it doesn't work.
Yeah. There's just jokes that don't work. It's just they're just throwing stuff on the wall. Damn. Yeah, like even like Ramsay at this point feels, I mean, Ramsay already felt redundant to me in the franchise, but like I also at this point I'm like, well, if she's not even the greatest hacker anymore, like what is she doing?
Oh my God. Wait, speaking of hacking, the scene with Charlize and Letty where they're like on the beds and Charlize hacks by reaching her hand over the console and pressing some buttons. I was like, you can't, that's it's poor design on the government's part to have a black site hospital where if someone can reach, like your hands are buckled, but buckled in just the right place that they can press a button and get out and kill you. No, I'm like, y'all, that's, you guys are fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what kind of black site is that?
Oh my God.
I do love that. I do love Gal Gadot just pulled up with the sub, though.
Just with
that
the was sub.
Like, it's like, okay.
Crazy.
And the thing is, she. Okay. They got to explain it. I'm like, you got to explain it. You got to explain it.
Dude, they'll explain it with one line. Like, they explain everything that doesn't make sense in these movies.
Yeah, they'll explain it and it won't make sense. And it'll be just be like, yeah, so move on. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Nothing. It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like the film, but whether or not it helped the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. And if it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Mm-hmm. So on the count of three, we're going to do our ratings for Fast X. Oof. What? Do you know what we're going to do?
I don't know.
All right, here we go.
No, I have no idea what we're going to do.
I don't know.
Yeah. Does it help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood? That's all. Oh. All right. Or actors of color. You could say that. Leading actors of color in Hollywood.
All right, cool.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right. So James and I gave it a fist, and Demi and Gerard gave it a white palm. I'll go first. I almost gave it as you all know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Vin Diesel. You know?
This is slowly Vin Diesel. Sorry, gave it a hand.
But there are so many actors of color in this franchise that kind of, I don't know if they'll ever necessarily get to do bigger things or if they're just kind of stuck to this. But these movies continue to give them a chance. So you got Tyrese, you know, you got Natalie Emmanuel, right, who plays Ramsey. Yeah. You have, Michelle Rodriguez, The Rock, you know, I mean, The Rock is The Rock, but, you know, Jason Momoa. I mean, you have people who are also don't need this, but like, Soon Kang, but you have so many actors of color here, and I don't know. It feels weird for me to not give it a fist.
Yeah, had you not said actors of color before we gave up our ratings, I was ready to give it a palm as well, just because of the. I mean, no shade to anybody who is who is as light as Vin Diesel is, and. You know, because I know that is a struggle for people who are like, this is my identity, and then have people look at you and then make all kinds of opinions and assumptions. Anyway, but I was struggling with that as a thought. But like, yeah, there's so many people of color in this movie, and it is, you know, the biggest franchise in the world, I guess, next to Marvel. I don't know which one is what.
I mean, this is homegrown.
So I had to give it
I gave it a palm because I was like,
yeah.
It wasn't as good as the other one. It just wasn't. It wasn't up to my
wasn't as
Fast
good.
And Furious like wants and needs. I was like, we could do better than this. So I gave it a palm.
I gave it a palm for one reason, and that's Tyrese, because I don't know what the fuck he's doing in this movie, but it made me, it just, there's so much to this movie that made me feel like the director was trying to placate everybody in a way that I was like, you sort of jumbled the story because like actors came in with notes from like, I just feel like my character needs something like this. And it stays in there in a way that just makes the whole thing feel like this weird, like everybody gets to come in and add an ingredient and now you're eating a soup that tastes like shit kind of thing. And I think it's just like, I appreciate that everyone is involved and it feels like this is this story that like has so much representation. I also, the fact that this franchise is like this multi-billion-dollar unabashedly diverse franchise that for the longest time had like two white people in it and like a million black people in it. I'm just like, that rocks. And I love that. But now it has reached this point where it's like, I'm no longer giving it points for that. And I'm just going like, all right, it's this massive success. Now let's think about it critically and what they're doing. And I'm like, Tyrese, they need to kneecap him a little bit. he hit a zenith here. I was like, no, he doesn't need a plot point like that, or just add him to the main story. Or it needs to be way more contained. I'm not actually railing against Tyrese as much as it feels like I am, but I think when I think about this movie, I do specifically think about that scene of Tyrese throwing powder in the sky and just being like, that I literally don't understand what that was.
Is it a reference to LeBron?
I thought it's got to be, right?
Some people have said that, but I'm like, it doesn't. But why? It doesn't make sense as a reference to LeBron. It's at the end of a fight, and it is like, yeah, but why? And he's facing away from the camera, and then does it again a little bit. And I was just like, I don't understand it. And everybody's got a different explanation as for what it's supposed to be. So it made me just so confused, and I keep thinking about it.
Yeah, no.
I enjoyed it. I had a great time, but I don't know if that is because of the movie or because of the audience.
Just committed to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I feel like that is the strong point now is the audacity. Like a line like you didn't take away my car. Like truly, that's what makes that so. That's why I championed it at the top of this.
1,000%.
They said that?
It feels like a franchise that people sometimes talk about like, it's so stupid, but I love it. And I'm like, the people making this are like, you love it because it's so stupid. They aren't thinking they're making a masterpiece and they made a mistake. Right. It's like, if they wrote a script that was like Oscar level, it'd be like, no, scrap this. I need you to put in lines that are crazy. I need you to go as insane as possible. I need Vin Diesel to look smooth. I need The Rock to make some line about he needs to call every woman. Like everything they're doing is very purposeful. This is not a mistake. They are trying to make an audacious movie that is kind of stupid and is good for that reason. I think it's like, it needs to be respected on that level.
Yeah.
Like I hate people talking about it. Just like, it's insane. And I don't think they know what they're making. I'm like, they know what they're making. It's a $1 billion franchise. This is all on purpose.
Yo.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, can't wait for the next
great movie.
Can't wait for the next one. It's going to be even crazier. Yes.
Yeah. For all of my complaints, I'm like, I'll be there Thursday night, 7 p.m., first screening, me and 50 people.
And they know it.
All right.
Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. And it's been so long. I have zero clue where we left off. But I'll read this one because I'm pretty positive we haven't read it. This is Day. It says, been a fan, still a fan. Hey guys, love the podcast and the message you are getting across. When I'm home, I listen with my little sister, Sasha, and she loves it as well. I look forward every week. If you ever do a show in New York or Boston, I'm there. But where is the missing pod? It stars Storm Reid, Nia Long, and Ken.
I just heard about that movie. Loom. I just learned about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said it was a fun time at the movies, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since. Wishing you success in 2023. P.S. Sorry for not responding back on Instagram. I really appreciate you noticing and reaching back out. Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, we try to respond, you know, when you guys message us and stuff. And also, if you are in Los Angeles, California, we have a show at the UCB Theater on Franklin Ave, Sunday, June 4th, 7 p.m., we're paired with another show. It's going to be a great night of improv. Our show is Black at the Movies, where we talk about, we will talk to you about your favorite films with Black actors and then do improv comedy based off of your responses. It's a really great time. So come on out to that. And that ticket link will be up on our website, blackmanpodcast.com. Demi, thank you so much for being on this podcast with us.
Thank you.
Oh, happy. Happy to.
Can people follow you anywhere? Is there anything you'd like to plug? Let them know about?
Sure. I'm at Electra Lemon everywhere. I'm kind of on Twitter, but I don't have access to it since I've been hacked and haven't gotten it back. So whatever. Nothing to plug. I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah, you're on strike.
I'm out striking in the streets.
And thank you so much. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We'll have links there to our merchandise that we sell via TeePublic and also our Patreon, which we are launching again. Woo. I think officially June 1st is what I've been saying. And we'll continue doing this. We know what we're doing next, right?
Yes, we do. I believe
it's
Spider-Verse. Well, on Patreon, our next episode on Patreon is The Little Mermaid, and then our next episode on the main is Spider-Verse.
Sweet.
So if you want to hear our thoughts, and we'll have a special guest for The Little Mermaid, please come visit our Patreon or Apple subscriptions. And then please go see what is it called? Into the Spider-Verse? Across the Spider-Verse?
Across the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse. Yes.
Just called Across the Spider-Verse. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Black Man Can't Jump in Hollywood is hosted by Jonathan Braylock, James III, and Jerome Milligan. Produced by Melissa DeMont and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Diane Kang, with post-production sound by Coco Lorenz.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The ghost with the most past due child support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.